thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
We're in our series on the miracles of Jesus from all four Gospels, and this morning we come to another miracle, and the message is called the Eye Opener. Now, the closest I've ever come to being totally blind was several years ago when our family went on a West trip and went to the Fantastic Caverns in Springfield, Missouri. Now, this is probably the only drive-through cavern in the entire United States. It's beautiful. The scenery is just otherworldly, if I may say. And we got to the center of that cavern, and it's a mile or so, and the guide told us, well, now hang on, because we're about to turn all the lights off. And they did. And it was pitch dark. It was just this sense of thick darkness in that room. I mean, you could almost cut that darkness with a knife. And so when that happened, I could feel my children who were sitting next to me, they just clutched on my arm and Nicole's arm because they felt so vulnerable at that point. But even I felt totally helpless. Even if I wanted to help them or do something, that darkness made me feel totally helpless. It's a great illustration of how things are before we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are in utter darkness. We cannot do anything. We are helpless until God turns the light on of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's the message today, because Jesus is the light of the world. He is the great eye opener. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who had previously seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Now, what does it mean to be spiritually blind? We know what it means to be physically blind. You can't see. But what does it mean to be spiritually blind? To be spiritually blind means others around you can see the work of God, but you can't. You are there. You are in the midst of it, but you can't see. I can preach. I can teach. You can be in Bible study. You can hear Christian music. But it doesn't make much sense. It simply bounces off. Question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, do you have your spiritual eyes, or are you spiritually blind? Now, there are two ways to be spiritually blind. One is, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, the light of God has never shone in your heart, you are blind. You need Jesus. to open your eyes. You need him to shine in your heart. But there's another way to be spiritually blind. You are saved. But you can let some sin, some disobedience, some selfishness to block your eyesight. You can let something obstruct the light from shining in your heart. All around you, God is working, and you can miss it. And today's message is not just for the lost, it's also for the saved. Has something obstructed the light of Jesus in your life? Then you need to repent. In our series on the miracles of Jesus from all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we've learned that when John talks about miracles, he calls them signs. He uses the word signs for miracles. Now, there's a difference between signs and miracles. Signs are miracles, but they are much more. They're also proofs of who Jesus was and why he came. This miracle in John chapter 9 is also a sign. There's something deeper behind this miracle. Now, what is this something deeper? To know that, we have to jump ahead to John chapter 9 and verse 14. The same miracle, but jump ahead to verse 14. Listen to what it says. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now, if you skip over this verse, you're going to miss the meaning of this miracle. You're going to misunderstand what it really means. It was Sabbath. That was the context of Jesus using clay to heal this blind man. Now, what is the Sabbath? Many of you grew up in church, you know what a Sabbath is. It was the seventh day of the Jewish week on which no work could be done. It went all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen to what it said, when God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Why did God rest? Was God tired? Of course not. He rested like an artist rests after creating a painting or a sculpture. He was stepping back to admire his creation. Not only that, but God also instructed and commanded his people Israel to keep the Sabbath. In the Decalogue, in the Ten Commandments, listen to what it says in Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, or your female servant, your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. This is the longest commandment in the Ten Commandments. Meaning this, God said the Sabbath is very important for your daily lives. In fact, breaking the Sabbath in the Old Testament was punishable by death. It was a capital offense. Now, why in the world did God give the Sabbath? For several reasons. The goal of the Sabbath was to give you one day to step away from work. One day for you to focus on God. One day for you to worship him. One day for you to connect with your loved ones. One day for you to restore your priorities. And by the way, God did not get into the details of what is work and what's not. He said, you work it out, but keep the Sabbath. So what did the people do? Well, unfortunately, by the time of Jesus, they came up with a long list of do's and don'ts as to what constituted the Sabbath. Questions like, can you light a fire? Now that's work now. Well, I guess you can cook. Because you can't light a fire. You know, you can't even turn on a stove. Because that's work. That's lighting a fire. So you got to cook the meals the day before. How far can you walk? Well, you can walk a little bit, but not too far. Because that's work. Can you help someone in need? Depends. Are they really in need? Well, I think so. Well, you can help them, but don't help them too much. Can you heal someone on a Sabbath? Can someone go to the doctor on a Sabbath? Well, no, that's work. So you got to wait. You got a cold, cough, whatever, got to hold off. Wait till Monday morning. Then you can get better. You see what was happening? They were so obsessed with this whole idea of Sabbath that they missed the real reason behind it. And what did Jesus do? When he came, he worked on the Sabbath. Worked in the sense that he was walking around, touching lives, restoring the blind, healing the sick, letting the lame walk again. He was working round the clock. And so the Jewish leaders got angry with him. In fact, if you go to John chapter 5, Jesus healed a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. Now, folks, that's a long time. Imagine if you could not walk for almost four decades. Jesus saw him at the pool of Bethesda, and he asked him, what do you want? He said, well, you know, if I could get in the pool when the angel stirs the water, I could be well, but there's no one to help me. He said, get up and walk. Man's like, stands up. He's like, wow. And he picks up his cot, and he starts walking. When the Pharisees, when the Jewish leaders saw him, they said, wait a minute. Now, what are you doing? I got healed. Not on the Sabbath, you don't. You don't get healed on the Sabbath. Now, folks, what would you do? If you were lame and sitting there for 40 years, would you be like, well, Jesus, hold off for 24 more hours. I don't want to break the Sabbath. No, you'd be like, I need the healing now. What was their reaction to him? Listen to John chapter 5, verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and they sought to kill him. Why? Because he healed too early. He couldn't wait 24 hours. Come on, Jesus. How could you be like that? Listen to what Jesus said to them. He said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. He was saying to them, listen, do not work is not sitting back and watching people suffer. True work is to go and meet the needs round the clock. Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a statement. I'll come back to it. Saving souls doesn't take a holiday. Reaching the lost doesn't have a Sabbath. Jesus worked round the clock. So should we. Now keep this in mind when we go to this miracle, starting in chapter 9 and verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, where was Jesus coming from? And if I were to say to you, I passed by your house the other day, you know, you're going to ask me, well, where were you going? Well, I was coming from the grocery store and I was going to my home. And I passed by your house. Where was Jesus coming from? To have the answer to that question, you have to go one verse prior to John 8 and verse 59. Listen to this. It's on the screen. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know, when you read John 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, what we have in our minds is Jesus taking a stroll early morning on the boardwalk. Or one evening, he had a nice big meal with the disciples and said, guys, I'm going to go for a walk. If you read this passage carefully, Jesus is on the run. He is running and he is hiding. He is ducking for cover, trying to get away from this crowd. This miracle was done as Jesus was trying to flee a mob of people with stones and rocks in their hands. Now, why did they have those stones and rocks? Well, because of what Jesus was telling them. Read chapter 8. I'm going to give you a few verses. John 8, verse 19. Jesus said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. They're like, well, what do you mean? Are you calling God your Father? Of course. You don't know me, you don't know him. You don't know him, you don't know me. That kind of aggravated them a little bit. But he gets worse. He says in verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The temperature began to rise now. He didn't stop there. Listen to verse 29. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Verse 44, now this is where he pushed him over the edge. you are of your father, the devil. Now, how would you respond to that if somebody said that to you? Your dad is the devil. I mean, I would pick up a rock too. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. The reason you cannot believe me and hear my voice is because you don't belong to the Father. Because the Father and I are, you know, we're one like this. And I can tell you, you don't belong to him. Because if you belong to him, you belong to me. If you accepted him, you accept me. You don't accept me, you don't accept him. Guess what? You're dying in your sins. And your father is the devil. Man, they began to pick up rocks and started chasing Jesus. But he gets worse. Listen to what he says here in verse 56. Your father Abraham, because they said, our father is Abraham. They said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then verse 58, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now that pretty much sealed the deal for them. They said, this man is claiming to be God, and they picked up rocks to stone him. By the way, what day is this? It's a Sabbath. You're not supposed to pick anything up. You're not supposed to throw anything. You're not supposed to kill anybody on the Sabbath. All rules are off today, because that man's got to die. Now, as Jesus is running from these men, he notices a man who is born blind. Now, see the irony here. Are y'all paying attention? See the irony. Here are people who are spiritually blind chasing him, and here sits one who is born blind, who is just sitting there totally helpless. These people should be like him. This mob who is trying to crucify him, stone him to death, should be helpless, hopeless, because every one of us is born blind when we come into this world. We're born blind in our sin. The question is, are we willing to admit it or do we deny it? Because if you deny it, you are no different than this crowd who wanted to kill Jesus. How should you be? You should be like that man who is sitting there helpless and hopeless because he was born blind. There is no chance for him to get better. You know, if someone had sight, you could probably work with them and see, let's see what we can do. Because you were able to see it. But this man was born blind. You and I are like that man born blind, completely helpless. And by the way, these people were chasing Jesus. This man, Jesus came to him. Just like he comes to each and every one of us. Right now, you might be in spiritual darkness, and Jesus spiritually is coming to you. Listen to what happens. His disciples, they were an interesting bunch. They had a deep theological question. As Jesus is running for his life, he stops to look at this man. You know, sometimes people try to be spiritual. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They get real spiritual. Especially if they know I'm a pastor, they get, well, what do you think about, you know, and they come up with some question somewhere, and I know and they know that really it's not about that question, it's about their heart. Their question to Jesus is, now Jesus, I know, just kind of duck a little bit, this man right here, do you think he sinned or his parents that he is born blind? What a dumb question. Folks, listen, anytime something bad happens to somebody, please don't go out there and say, well, they deserve that. Don't ever say that. I've seen a lot of good people get hurt. I've seen a lot of good people get sick. I've seen a lot of good people go through tough time. It's got nothing to do with it. How did Jesus answer them? He said, neither he nor his parents have sinned. But listen to what he says here. Chapter 9, verse 3. But that the works of God should be revealed him. Now, pay attention to verse 4. I must work. What day is this? It's the Sabbath. He said, I must work. Jesus, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. There's a sense of urgency, which means this. I cannot walk past this man. He has to see today. Not just physically, but spiritually. Show me a church that doesn't have an urgency to save the lost. That's a church that's already dying. There's a sense of urgency because the night is coming. What is that night? That night could be in about 45 minutes for some of you. There isn't a guarantee that you will see Christmas. There are people in this room who may not see 2018. Listen to how Jesus does the miracle. This is very important. When he has said these things, he spat on the ground. Spitting on the ground, okay? The saliva hits the ground. That's like pouring water, which is Sabbath. What is it? That's work. You can't pour water. What is Jesus doing? He is breaking the Sabbath. He doesn't stop there. Listen to what else he does. He made clay with saliva. What is he doing? He's like kneading the dough. You can't do that. Jesus is God. He could just say the word and heal the person. Why is he doing all this? On purpose, he is breaking the Sabbath. He pours water. He makes clay. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, which is also work because on the Sabbath you can't go to a doctor. Now, why did Jesus do all that? Was he just trying to antagonize the people? You know, if I was one of the disciples, I'd say, Jesus, can we do this later on? Can we just, like, go? Because you're going to die, we're going to die too. And I don't feel like getting hit by a rock today. Why do you think he did that? How did God make Adam? He made him out of the dust of the earth. Just like that, Jesus is using the dust of the earth. What did God do in the book of Genesis? After he made Adam, what did he do? He breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living being. He could finally move his hands, his feet, his eyes. This man is already living. He doesn't need the breath of life. But guess what Jesus does? He spits, which is still life. Why? Because this is simply a patch. The creation is broken. Jesus is putting a patch on it. And then he does something else. He tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. The man now has to walk and has to get into the pool and has to splash the water. What is he doing? Not only did Jesus break the Sabbath, but the man is also breaking the Sabbath. And John tells us that this pool was called sent. Jesus is the sent one from God. He is God sent. You know what Jesus is doing here? Not only is he telling them, I am the God who made the heavens and the earth and created man in my image. I am also the one who made the Sabbath. And guess what? Now I'm claiming everything around here. That pool now belongs to me. Go to my pool and be washed and clean. What was the result? Well, his neighbors couldn't recognize him. They got into a big discussion. Is he the one? Is he? Does he? Maybe. And he said, I am the one. The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, began to investigate and interrogate him. How dare you? Who is the man? What is he doing? Why is it on the Sabbath? What did his parents do? They distanced themselves from him. I find that very interesting. They said, we don't know him. He is old enough. Ask him. You know, sometimes when you try to follow God, people in your own family may turn against you. But Jesus came looking for him. Now listen to what Jesus says. Because this man is still not saved. John 9:35. Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And his response, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He got saved. Listen, he was not saved when he got his miracle. Now he got saved. Some of you have received miracles from God. God protected you. God provided for you. God guided you with the ultimate purpose that somewhere you will come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just because your prayers have been answered does not mean that you are saved. Just because you got the job, just because you have the house, just because you finished your education, just because you found the love of your life does not mean that you are saved. There has to be a point where you say, Jesus, I need you to save me. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. Now you're saved. I can go on and on. Let me draw some applications. All of us are born spiritually blind. And our blindness is due to sin. You can't do anything about it. You're born dead in trespasses and sins. Only Jesus is the light of the world, and he is restoring sight round the clock, round the clock. Last week I was a chaplain at the hospital, and about close to 9 o'clock I got a call. Family was needing the services of a chaplain. I'm the chaplain on duty. They called me. I went over there. I was there until 10:30. It was a tough time for the family. But listen, I came home by 10:30. Jesus is working around the clock. And one thing he's doing around the clock, which is saving souls. You want to know what the purpose is of this church? It's to save souls. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Something else. Persecution may follow after receiving sight. Just because you get saved doesn't mean everybody's going to love you. They may start hating you. You may lose some friends. You may have people just like this man who will kick you out of the synagogue. They will kick you out of your friend circle. Now let me shift a little bit. Spiritual blindness is not just for the lost, it can also be for the saved. What does spiritual blindness do for the saved? It will make you major on the minors and minor on the majors. Jesus is God who made the heavens and the earth, who instituted the Sabbath, and yet he said, you missed the point. The Sabbath was made for the man, not the man for the Sabbath. Go out there. The fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Work, reach the lost, reach those who are hurting. Sometimes I think people get caught up in tradition. Even we do. I mean, this church is not free from tradition. We get caught up in tradition. Well, this is how we used to do. This is how my home church did it. We have a list of traditions. Listen, folks, ultimately it's not about traditions. It's about reaching the lost. When Jesus opens our sinful eyes, he also opens our eyes to the lostness around us. You begin to see people the way God sees people. You can get angry with that fellow who cut in front of you in line, or you can get angry with the man at the gas station or the attendant at that fast food place. You can get angry with people, or you can see them through the eyes of Jesus. That person needs Jesus Christ. I'm not saying excuse them for their behavior. I'm not saying look over their failures. What I am saying is see them how God sees them as lost souls.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus is the eye opener. Only he can restore sight, both physically and spiritually. Place your trust in him, and he'll open your eyes to what God is doing in the world around you and in your life. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.